that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, July 23rd, 2022. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Beautiful morning here. Blue skies and a beautiful sunrise this morning. And we've got a full crew on this morning. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim over in, I bet it's been a little warm, Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you, whether you're up in Washington, a little earlier up there, or down in Florida, or Texas. Got some fires down in Texas. We say good morning to you, and we thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit, but we always do our best and encourage you to open up in prayer. Whether it's a trip that you have going, whether it's something major, something that's not so major, whatever it is, it's always good to take it to the Lord first. And so, Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, and we ask that you continue to look out after us, to lead us, guide us, direct us. Be with us into our needs, Father, and we just ask, Father, for more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, Remnant, we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you've been listening any time, you've got that number memorized as we do, because it hadn't changed in, many years. But we'd be glad to take your call this morning. Lots going on. Like I said, it's summertime, it's fire time, and once again, setting record, not just wildfires, not just grass fires, but setting record fires, record numbers of acreage. I think Alaska has gone over 3 million acres burned so far, and it just ties in and continues with what you've heard here, and what we're seeing is the change, a change that's in the physical. These fires keep getting bigger, hotter, more of them. Texas is under extreme fire watch. We've had local crews from here in Wyoming get together and get called to Texas. We had some local firefighters go just this past week. And so plenty to be in prayer about, Remnant, plenty to that, you know, there's more going on than what you see reported by CNN and MSNBC. There really is. And I think that many of these liberal outlets, they hold off on reporting these things because it doesn't further their agenda. It doesn't increase the fear and submission of the people. And anyway, just wanted to mention that. It is plenty to pray about. And you can tell really by what the media ignores, kind of what their agenda is. That left wing agenda that the media has, they've been ignoring some other events of the day. Jason, I'll kind of do that as a lead in to give that to you, if that'll work.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, we've got all these, we got wars, we got rumors of wars and shootings and different stuff that's taken place. And, you know, this week we had one of the things that caught my eye was a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun, and these liberals are just having a fit about it. You know, well, was he supposed to have a gun and it was illegally carried? They're pissed off because he was carrying in a mall where he shouldn't have been able to carry a gun, and it was illegal for him to be carrying it because that was the mall's regulations. That was their policy. And he shoots a shooter who spends over an hour in a bathroom assembling weapons and comes out and starts killing people. And shoots him. It was a Weishes Dicken, and he came out. He responded. He heard the shots. He came over. 22-year-old young man with his girlfriend, and he heard the shots coming out. And he goes over there, and you know, 8 out of 10 rounds, he hit the guy center of mass, and took the shooter out. And they're having a fit about him carrying a gun in a shopping mall. And you know, it just shows the insanity of things and where we're at. But you know, that's what people need to think about: as good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns, and that's just the way it is. You know, and there's a lot of people that want, you know, they want us unarmed. This earlier this week, I had dinner with a Marine officer that was he spent 11 years as a sniper and 22 years as an officer. And we talked about, you know, things that were happening in this country and stuff. And we talked about Stalin. We talked about communism. We talked about a lot of different stuff. And, you know, the question was, is do they know what they're doing? And I think the consensus between what we were all talking about was, yes, they know exactly what they're doing, and they want to disarm people. They want slaves. Here recently this week, ATF agents showing up at homes of people that purchased unfinished 80% gun frames. The people, when they knocked on the door and said, yeah, we want to inspect your stuff, okay, yeah, well, I don't have anything to hide, and they let them in their house. Well, as soon as they got in their house, then they wanted to look at and take their legally owned firearms that they had. You know, and we're not even talking about stuff that was anything illegal or anything like that. It was stuff that was unfinished. They showed up for unfinished guns, which are not considered a gun. And, you know, number one, is people need to remember, and they need to get this through their heads, is they are not their friend. You know, show me a search warrant. Do not let people in your house go through your stuff. People say all the time,
amen.
Well, I don't have anything to hide. No, you have rights, and people do not exercise their rights, and therefore, that's why their rights are getting taken away. When somebody gets pulled over, and can I search your vehicle? Well, I don't have anything to hide. You know, don't do it. And people need to get that through their head.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. Privacy is the cornerstone on is one of the cornerstones of all of your other God-given rights. If you don't have a right to privacy, you have nothing. I mean, it's a preemptive strike against God-given rights. You know, to do that, and this business with administrative versus actual law is crazy. I mean, the business with the mall and this kid over that gun that was a rule. If they had enforced it, they would have asked him to leave, you know, and he would have left.
Yes.
And if he hadn't left, then they could have got him for trespassing. There was never the issue there of him illegally having a gun on that property. The issue would have been that he had something that was against their policy, and the biggest problem that could have resulted was them fining him for, or, you know, coming against him for trespassing when he was asked to leave. They could never have arrested him for having a gun on that property. I mean, in that state now, they have constitutional carry, what we call constitutional carry. So he was legal that way. And, you know, it just kind of stands to reason that anybody who would make a comment about that business of him carrying a gun or doing that, it's like, have you no sense, no morality, no values at all?
They don't, and they don't have any love for their neighbor. They don't love their neighbors themselves. They're obviously not a Christian, and they don't.
Yeah.
They don't care about one another. They don't. It's them and us.
As a matter of fact, I think it's even the other way. They want the destruction. You know, that's the thing. They don't. It's not even that they just don't care. They actually desire the chaos and the ensuing death and pandemonium.
Yes. They know. Like you said, Tim, they know that it furthers their agenda. You know, they as Jason said, they want us unarmed, as the rest of the world is. You know, there is no other bastion of freedom. There is no other armed populace in the world. Is there? Is there? Am I wrong in that? I don't think I am, but I'm certainly open to correction if I am. But, you know, the rest of the world has been unarmed. Look at what's happened in Europe since World War II. Unarmed and invaded. And Australia, you know, they've taken their firearms, and crime is rampant. Look how it is in our big cities, where they have the strictest gun laws in the country. And that is always tied in with the highest crime rate. It is. And that's what our enemy wants. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what they want to do. Remnant, I hope you take Jason's advice. You know, there's a little thing called the Fourth. I think it's the Fourth, isn't it?
The Fourth Amendment.
The Fourth Amendment.
The people in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, and they shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and so on and so forth. And that's what it is. I mean, it's one of our Fourth Amendment rights, and people don't exercise it. And the reason that we are having rights and our amendments taken away from us is because people won't stand up for them and they don't use them.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with refusing to comply. Go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
We were commissioned to buy a sword a long time ago. We're always looking in the rearview mirror. We have our rights. We were commissioned to go defend ourselves, and he told us what it was about. You know, you be careful. Be sly as a snake. Everything is after. There's no crime and to punish. There's no preventative laws that work anyway, but the law is violated until after the fact, and you have a crime and then deal with it God's way, you know, execution or restitution or something. And
exactly.
The American people are extremely stupid.
Yeah, and that's by design.
Yeah.
That's by design. Our enemy knows that we are sheep. Bah, bah. Me, you, all of us. We are. And when the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, that's one thing. But when they don't, they're easily led astray. They can be twisted and caused to fear, and that's certainly where we are as a nation. Now I don't want to offend anybody by calling you a sheep, because I know there are some sheep dogs out there, and I don't want to offend you by calling you a dog either, because it's a sheep dog, a guardian of the sheep. And this young man in Indiana, He fits in that category that you mentioned, Jason. He does. 8 out of 10 shots at 40 feet. That's my new practice goal. It is 8 out of 10 at 40 feet. I think that's a good. I think that's a good goal to set.
The goal should be 10 out of 10.
Well, the goal, right? The goal should be 10 out of 10.
And that's the problem: is people set their goals too low, and they plan on missing twice.
Well, I won't plan on missing. How about that? And so, yeah, it was. And you know, once again, it's proven that when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And this good guy with a gun, like how you put that, Jason, stopped the bad guy with a gun. And that's what it takes. It is. And that happens all the time. There was a story here, it's been a couple months ago, it was in the black community. It was like at some graduation of a black school or something. I'm not sure. Colored. I don't know what the right term is. And the same thing. You had a black guy that opened up with a rifle and started shooting people, and a black female who had a concealed carry permit and was carrying pulled her pistol and shot the guy dead and stopped it. And the media won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but it does. It happens a lot more than you think, Remnant. It certainly happens a lot more than it's reported.
Yeah, and I have to just jump in here and clarify one thing. It wasn't 40 feet. It was 40 yards he shot that guy at.
Was it 40 yards?
It was 40 yards. Everything I've read says 40 yards. So that's a kudos to him.
Excellent.
You know, and pretty, you know, I was impressed. So anybody who's proficient with that kind of stuff realizes a 40-yard shot under that kind of stress level, that's a lot of distance. And granted, I think Jason's right, they should always be looking for 100%, because that's what we demand so that we can do it. But that young man was impressive. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Yes. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, I had heard different
amounts. So there was a Canadian pastor that was arrested and jailed, Arthur Pulaski. He was up in Canada for holding church services during Alberta's lockdowns. He was acquitted of all charges, and they've been coming down on him really hard. Basically, he was out there. He's like, "No, my doors, and my church are going to be open, and that's the way it's going to be." And they They arrested him several times and hauled him off, put him in jail. He did a substantial time amount of time in jail, and they gave him a win this week. So, you know, that was a big deal, especially for something happening up in Canada.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Didn't he do some YouTube videos or something, or some videos too?
YouTube videos and stuff. But that's one of the things that I appreciate about the guy, is that he went out there and, you know, he asked people to pray for him, you know, and he petitioned prayer. He said, "I need it." He said, "We're not going to win this without prayer." And there was people all over praying for him. So, you know, when there is, you know, cause and effect, but when people ask for prayer, it's a very important thing. And, you know, even it has the way of changing courts and outcomes and juries and everything like that.
Amen. That's our first line of defense and the most important one.
Amen.
Yeah. It'd be the first thing they jump to.
Amen.
You know, let's get God involved.
That's right. That, so, man, that does change things like crazy. It really does. It does.
God will fight our battles if we're humble. I mean, how many times has he sent people in an unsurmountable odds and won? And he'll fight our battle for us, you know, but he will also reject us when we reject him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Well, just an interesting note. One of the things I found that interested me just in quick passing was that so far in 2022, we talk about this degradation of American morality and American backbone and of godly stands. And I do think it's coming back. I think there's a call to godly values. God's instituted it. And it's like he uses pressure. You know, he'll put pressure on his people to return. I think we're seeing that. But one of the things I thought was interesting was, we've talked about it on here many, many times, is this public re-education system or public pool system, or there's a whole bunch of names for it. But as of right now in 2022 so far, there has been one educator, K through 12, arrest per day, that's the numbers, for child sex crimes in 2022. So you want to talk about having wolves in with your lambs. Why, you know, that's going on all the time. And you don't hear anything about it in the you know, regular everyday news. But it's so far this year, 181 educators have been arrested for sexually molesting children. And that's not all they're doing. That's just that's the ones that they can prove, you know. So this is the kind of people that are turning our children into, you know, what we see coming out. So, anyways.
Yeah, and the homeschool group grows. It grows. I see it out here, even in rural Laramie. Parents that really care, they are pulling their children out of that public fool system. They are. Paul, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
So, that's all right. But we've delegated a lot of our responsibilities as far as raising the family and stuff to institutions that really, and there's nothing wrong. I see these little Amish schools, they have their horse and buggy, and they're teaching their own children what they think, you know, but... the Bible says to teach your children, you're rising up and you're lying down, you're going out and you're coming in. You see, this is our responsibility. So you need to be reading those textbooks if you have them in a school and see what they're saying. Because that whole public school system is twisted, everything, you know. If you, all you have to do is go back to reading, writing, arithmetic, and a kid will think for himself. And that's what we have to cultivate, but they're always programming it. But, you know, there's a girl here, I've never met her, she got signs all over the area. She's running for county commissioner. I never met her, Zach did, but and she said to Zach, she says, well, I don't really have all the answers, but what's going on isn't right. It's about what she said. And, you know, I'm, if I met her face
to face. She's a lot better off than most of them are then.
That's right.
If I met her face to face, I'd ask her a question. Of course, she'd say yes. I said, well, you know, the Bible does say a woman is not supposed to be in a place of authority. But on the other hand, from my experience with my youth group, when a man won't run his home, the woman has to. So, you know, maybe that's your calling, you know, because...
Well, I think, and I'm in the same boat, Paul, and I agree with you 100%. A woman isn't supposed to rule over a man, but a lot of these women have got it by default because the men won't do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
If there was a man running on their principles, you know, I'd vote for him and fight for him and contribute to him, but there ain't.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
but I
that's with the my society
youth,
we
my
live
youth
in.
Group, I had, with my youth group, I got to know these kids. I got to see what the real problem was. And Charles Stanley, I was listening to him at the time, had a two-part series on the father every child needs. It's just an excellent sermon. So I put in the bullets, and we're going to have a meeting here. And so they all came in. I turned that tape on. They sat there, and their wives were out in the car for an hour. And there was a second period. I said, well, the next one next week, nobody showed up. But those men had their head right, straight up their hind end, and the wives had to, they had to run the family, and they didn't really want it, but there was no other choice, so they get the job by default. When men become men again, you know, that song.
Yes, yes, yeah. We have a whole bunch of men out there who they won't do, don't want, and they want a certain percentage of it. They want a certain part of it. But the rest of it's just like, wow, that's an icky part I don't want to do, or that's a, you know, you are that guy. And so
you want the honor without the effort.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. You know, you're, and the other thing they want to do is they want to micromanage everything to death. That's not God's way of doing it. You know, I mean,
that's
we have the issue with that. As a man, I don't have to micromanage my home and my household, because there's a ton of stuff that my wife knows what I want, and she takes care of that the right way, and I'm pleased and proud of her for it. My children are the same way. You know, at the level that I need to get involved is the hard level, you know? It's that part where it's like, okay, you know, so, and they don't want to do that. They shirk their responsibility because it's hard.
Right.
And, hey, so, yeah, that's one of those things.
Well, they think they make a living. You know, that's their job. You don't let somebody else do else, but that's not their job, you know. Everybody's going so fast making a living, but I'll tell you what, that deteriorating by the moment. You know, I talked to two people last week that had a tractor broke down. They called a dealership, well, we'll get to you next week. You know, and they got a tractor they need right now. You know, both of them are in position. They had an alternative, but I'm telling you, service is going away, and it don't matter how big or how much money you got.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a lot of this new stuff is getting so expensive to work on. I mean, we've got guys around here that are just, they got sticker shock bad when they call the dealership, you know. It's like, holy Toledo. So, you know, we had one guy break down in the field here with a new tractor the other day, and they came out and got him going. I mean, the tractor was stuck in the field because they couldn't even get it out of there. And they came out. It took them a day and a half to get out here and get him going, but they told him, well, if that wasn't under warranty, that would have been, you know, like $12,000 for, you know, a couple hours worth of work. And he was just like, you know, big eyes. I'm like, holy smokes. So we're living in it's just a strange thing.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I'm falling.
Yep, it is. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Got an email, didn't know if you saw this, had a, again, back in Texas, had a lightning strike one of their big windmills, the big one. And, of course, it caused a big dramatic fire, and had some quotes from the the responding fire chief out there, and he said, yeah, these things happen. He said, we just stay back and let it burn because there's really nothing we can do about it. He said, because the 800 gallons of oil up top in the gearbox, we just have to let that burn off. And then if it catches the 1,300 gallons of mineral oil that are in the ground transformer at the base of it, if that catches, we have to just let that do whatever it's going to do as well. And anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting and pretty dramatic video. You know, when those things go, they throw a lot of black smoke up, and it's pretty dramatic. But I just thought that was interesting, those numbers. 800 gallons of oil up in those gearboxes up top. And 1,300 gallons of mineral oil in each ground transformer at the base of those things. That sounds pretty green, you know. Just, again, the hypocrisy of Babylon. That, like you said, Paul, the American people are, what other can you use, what other adjective can you use but stupid, that they believe this green. We're looking at it here. We've got the state, the county, everybody and their brother has approved a huge windmill farm to go in just up the road from us. Just, you know, screaming green energy, green energy, green energy. And the amount of concrete that goes into those things and just the oil here, just the oil, that's a lot. That's a lot. Doesn't sound too green to me.
And they don't even pay for themselves.
No, not at all.
No, that's the part. Yeah, I was going to. They're not their life expectancy and their payouts. And if you don't read the rhetoric and you read the financial reports, like it's a big Ponzi scheme. You know, basically they're just it's all payoffs and it's all they don't work. They're a waste of time and money and a waste of resources. And like everything that they come out with, from EV cars to that stuff, it's a thing of diminishing returns. I mean, there's not, the input is far higher than the output, so it doesn't work.
I've seen a headline down in Texas. They told them not to charge their cars because the grid was so stressed, keeping up probably the air conditioners, that they weren't even to charge their cars. So that kind of keeps you at home. And I know of a story north of here, a lady bought a electric car, and anyway, she didn't have enough power coming to her, so she could only do it on the low cycle, which took over 8 hours to charge the car. You know, it's just a dead end street, no matter how you look at it.
Well, I think it was GM and maybe even Tesla, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't quote me on that. I can't remember the exact names, but they came out with a kind of a service bulletin warning type thing in telling people not to charge those automobiles in their garage and not to charge them close to a house, like in a carport or anything like that. They should be parked out separately because the risk of them catching on fire is so high that, you know, they've had several houses burned down and everything else during the charging cycles. So it's like, wow. Yeah, wonderful pieces of equipment.
Yeah, it's insane. My neighbor's garage caught on fire. You know, I held it back till the fire department got there, but that was a battery charger or something that caught the house on fire. It wasn't, and it's just a small little thing. But and then the fire department pulls up there, and I know you're on that, Richard. But these guys pull up there, that hose is fully charged, and there that guy is dicking around putting his vest on. You know, and he could have had the fire out in about 2 minutes. And I've seen that twice. They pull up, oh, that should never save that house. And the one I see was on fire, the garage was on fire right next to it, and I pulled out there and I turned the hose on. I just dribbled out the end. Well, anyway, there was a pool there in a bucket, and I kept throwing it on the side of that house. I mean, I saved that house. They pulled, we'll never save it, you know. they did, but they have a just like the windmill, they have an attitude of, maybe we won't save it. You know, I think they like to see things burn, some of them.
Some of them do. Yeah, some of them do. And then, you know, policies, just like everything else. You know, policies, make sure you can't put water on the fire unless you have all your PPE on and gloves and boots and helmet and this. So if you've forgot it or in the heat of the moment you grab the hose and do that, they get reprimanded. They don't get promoted. It's just like everything else, like the, you know, like how the police force has changed from peace officers to law enforcement officers. We've seen that change. You know, from Barney Fife to that ATF that Jason was telling us about. You know, what was it in, I forget the movie, or the, not the movie, but the book, that they looking into the future, that the when they were burning all the books, that the firemen, that's what they would do. They would come, and if the police found books, they'd call for the firemen, and the firemen would come and burn them down, would burn them. And we're, you know, just the policies that we see in this nation. You know, we don't see that. Used to we'd see on what, the old black and whites, to protect and serve, like on a police car, to protect and serve. And we don't see that anymore, because that's not their job. Their job's not to protect and serve, not us anyway. It might be to protect and serve this, you know, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
What's the difference between a policeman and a sheriff?
One is voted in and the other one's appointed.
No, it's in the word. Police carry out the policy. Sheriff is supposed to carry out the law.
Okay.
So they've all become policemen. But the policeman has come from the policy of the corporation, and not necessarily law.
Good enough.
Kind of simple, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Well, and the limits of their power are distinctly different as well, too, as far as, you know, the sheriff is that county official. And
when you sign your driver's license, you agree to go along with the policy of what that amounts to. You know, because, you know, I drove around for 2 years, no license plate or light driver's license, but I kind of came to the conclusion if everybody did, we'll still have a mess. So, and I am a slave in Egypt. That's one thing you got to get to your head. A lot of my friends went to prison, and they were right, but the system didn't like them.
You got to choose your battles.
Exactly.
Yeah, you do. You do. You know, again, that story of Gideon comes to mind. You know, what was he doing? Was he out there with, you know, with swords and trying to battle the Midianites? Nope, he wasn't. And he was called a mighty warrior. And what was he doing? He was hiding in the wine press, beating out his wheat, trying to get ahead a little bit, you know, hiding it from this oppressive government, that these invaders that had come in that were taking everything. That's what Gideon was doing.
The tax processor, what he was.
That's right. And he was called a mighty warrior in the Bible.
Our battles are not with a gun, and everybody should have a gun or two, but I'm telling you, this is a mental war, and right. They've indoctrinated everybody, and this is what is going on. The minds have to be changed, and then you'll have a different world. So, but see, we need a system like this to wake people up. They're going to have to cry out to God, you know, and we are pretty helpless overall. I mean, you know, four of us here, on, we could take off people for a while, but they have more. They could overwhelm us real fast. But when you change the minds of people, then they've got a problem.
Right.
And don't go to church. You are the church. You don't have to go there. Now, a fellowship is real good, but I'm telling you what, you don't go to church. Everything's, well, I go to church. I guess that's righteousness in their mind, but it's not.
Well, it's more so a base of the problem even than the public education system. I mean, because it started there because they had to pervert the parents to get the parents to send their kids to that system. There was a time in this land when there was a lot of resistance to that public education system. You know? So it's like, but they religiously educated it out of them. So,
it's the oldest war tactic in the world, is divide and conquer. You go back to women's suffrage back in the early 1900s, that was where it really got divided. It divided the home, and it's not gotten better ever since. You divided the home. You know, the man used to be the voice. Well, and then you had these rebellious women that came in and got this all through. And it's going back there, though. Don't worry about it. It's going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun. This has happened before, too. You know, people have been rebellious. Every great nation, Roman Empire, Greece, they all went down. Internal destruction is what it got them, the morality. And we had a really good dose of it going on around us.
Amen. Amen. Remnant, I'll encourage you to read 1 Kings 17. That talks about the drought that was in the land, and Elijah going to the widow, and the widow was fixing to die. Gathering a few sticks so I can go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die. And Elijah tells her, don't fear, but first, make this cake, make that little cake for me and bring it out to me. And it says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty. And it wasn't. It says, the bowl was not exhausted. The jar of oil did not become empty, according to the words. And when you read a little bit before it, you see that the Lord had told Elijah, back in verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And see, the widow had no idea. She had no idea that the Lord was doing that. That she was a part. She had a part in the play that thousands of years later we're still talking about it. And so we have to realize that. I thought of that, Paul, when you're saying, you know, you're always telling us, God, you know, these are the things that God is doing. He is playing a more masterful chess game than anyone can imagine. We talk about our enemies, you know, they play chess and we're still trying to figure out checkers. But the way the Lord moves, the way God moves in Elijah's life, in our life, is just unfathomable. But that's where that faith comes in. You know, God tells Elijah to do this, so he does. And he says, I've got somebody there to take care of you. I've paved the way. And we need to be of that thought process today, of that faith, that regardless of what comes, I'll say regardless of what grows more, because we have drought in parts of the land, we have famine in parts of the land or coming. And God provides for his.
I think we could see miracles like that in the near future, because he says we will not buy or sell without the mark of the beast, and he can take care of us. He will take his people through the Red Sea again. And that's the real deal. You know, where did it come from? You know, you just have to have faith. What's our source of life? It's God himself. Gives us breath, and our life is very temporary. You know, what are you going to do? Sell out to buy another day? Hope. Hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, Hebrews 6:19. I'm drinking coffee out of a cup that Jason got me, and that's where I got it. But our hope, what do we hope in? What is our future? And it's God. We're in a Red Sea predicament. Richard can smell the salt. I can't, but he can, so. But it's coming.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It is. It is. Well, and I think we all sense it in different ways. We talk about that, it's Babylon falling. We talk about people waking up. All of that is, those and many more items that we talk about, they are tied together in that very thing that we are, I think we are at the end, coming up to the end of an age. It might not be the end of days, but it's the end of an age where this Babylon is falling. How thankful we are that we had a pastor that taught us that there was an end of an age when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. That was an end of an age. When Christ came, that was the end of an age and the beginning of a new age. And I think we're seeing that again, that this Babylon that we are in is coming to an end.
As far as I know, there's three sins in the Bible that calls for the death penalty. It's murder, rape, and kidnapping. Now, why would kidnapping be involved in there? And it's because of the sanctity of life. You're not you talk about the cops going into their house, and people don't realize, but that sanctity, that your house is your sanctuary. I think it's somewhere it says in the Bible, if you go to collect a debt, you're not aiming to go into the house. That's their sanctuary. They're not supposed to come in there. I've seen cops walk right in like they own the place, and they don't have that sanctity of life. It's been lost a long time ago.
That's a fact.
But you don't think, kidnapping, you don't think that's a bit, but it is, because that sanctity of life, and that's what God's trying to teach us there.
Yeah. Well, when you take someone out of control of their life through force, overt threat, or any kind of strong-arm tactic, that's basically, in its most, base form, that's kidnapping. I mean, you have now, and kidnapping and even unlawful enslavement is kidnapping. I mean, any time you do that. So and you've now taken them away from their position of control over their own life or over their own means of life. So God doesn't have much of a sense of humor about that. And neither should we.
See, the thing of it is, if you cannot govern yourself, something's going to govern you. The highest form of government is Christian self-government, when you can control yourself. Now, when you can't make your own decision and do right from wrong, then something's going to rule you. And this is what we got. And the New World Order is the shortest, the worst form of government, because they're all about self-preservation of them, not me. So, we got to have Christian self-government again, where we control our own lives and do right, if nobody's looking or not, See, really, really, Christianity is a government, is what it amounts to. It's not a religion. It's a government. It's what regulates you. And that's what true Christianity is. Everybody else thinks, you see all the perversions today. It's not what it is. And that's what it's supposed to be. But I think in Jeremiah 23, it talks about the preachers, and God said, if you would have told them the truth, they would have repented. Now, there's a perverse group of people that they're either ignorant or evil. I can't always figure out what it is. But if you're not teaching what sin is, there's no fixing it.
Amen. Now, if you're not going to be his people, he's not going to be your God. right?
Right. Amen. Yep.
Well, Remnant, again, plenty to pray for. What an exciting time, this time that God has prepared for each and every one of us to see the things that we are seeing, the changes that we're seeing in the land, in the government, in the awakening of people. Seeing how God works, how God is not slow regarding slowness as people regard it, but it's called patience, giving opportunity for more people to repent, for more people to come to His knowledge, for more people to turn and to come out of this Babylonian system that is falling. And be ready. In this 1 Kings 17, I'll let you know too. Read 1 Kings 18. Read about Obadiah, who worked for Ahab, who did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings, who was as wicked as they come. But read about Obadiah. He worked for the enemy, but it says he had feared the Lord greatly and served Elijah. I think it's a good example for us that's how we are to be, regardless of where we work, regardless of what we do in this Babylonian system, that we can be like Obadiah. We can, like he says, I have feared the Lord from my youth. And he served God, and the things that he did, he hid the prophets and provided for them. And anyway, examples throughout this word.
Well, what it said in the Las Vegas letter, somebody wrote, we will watch the destruction of the wicked, they're having a heyday at the moment, but we will watch their destruction. So we can depend on that.
Yes. Amen.
And we need to be praying for, mercy for the righteous in the time of this, that God has grace and mercy for his own during these times of this stuff going on. I mean, that's in the Bible, and it's one of those things that we should be asking for.
Yep.
It's just part of who we are.
Yeah, times are short. Times are short. What did it take Noah? 100 years to build the ark? Then he was a conspiracy theorist, right? Repent, he said, repent. And took about 100 years. Between the conspiracy theorist to become fact, and now that's only running about 6 months, and so times are getting short. They really are. They really are. So, well,
time means nothing to God.
That's right. That's right. Well, speaking of time, we're just running out of it this morning. And I want to thank all you men for joining us. And I do want to invite you, Remnant, to come to church with us. But you can do that by staying at home. You can have your Bible open. And the things you see, if you join us at church, the things you hear, you can look right in your Bible and see if it's so. And that's what we should be doing. But you can join us at church. We'll start at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, at scripturesforamerica.org. And so we encourage you to join us there, and we'll have a little bit of everything. We hope you can join us. And men, again, thanks for taking time out of your busy weekend to encourage the Remnant and share with them. And Remnant, know that we pray for you. We ask for your prayers for the ministry and for those of us here. And thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you at church tomorrow, guys.
Rolling, stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, stake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our